I don't know my Bible. I'm just too busy. Are some of those excuses that we might give of why we don't share the witness and witness to others. And maybe you, I probably have used every single one of those in my own personal life of why I might not witness to someone else. But then we begin to look at, well, why as a church, why do we witness? Well, we'll be blessed if we do. People will be walking down the aisles and getting saved. It meets a desperate need. And 2 weeks ago, we looked at that great white throne judgment. And we think about the fact that Jesus Christ died to save people from that great white throne judgment. And if they find Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and have their name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that they'll be saved, eternally saved. We'll be able to move that piano more often. Today we had to adjust the piano a little bit, and I'm okay if we have to move that piano around to be able to open that baptismal up. And if we have to put it back in place and get it adjusted just right for the sound and everything, that's okay with me if we have to open it, right? And church growth. The church will grow. More people will be coming in, but not just grow numerically. I mean, that's one of the things that we love, and we love to just, wouldn't it be great to just have a Sunday night where the place is just full and overflowing on a Sunday night, in the Sunday morning, but not just grow numerically, but grow spiritually too. I think about people praying and getting excited about getting out there and witnessing. It's also part of us being a good steward and being able to give God our talents and abilities. But that's where we left off last week, and where we came to was, church, why should we witness? What's the purpose in our witness? And one of the reasons that we, and the first reason we're going to look at tonight is, as a church, why should we witness? Well, and somebody said it last week, because that's what God told us to do, right? I put that as my last reason for the church. Why you should witness, because that's what God, that could be the first reason, and that could be the last reason, and that could be the only reason, and that would be reason enough, right? Is because Christ told us to. He said, church, you need to witness. So tonight, as we look at church, you need to witness because Christ told us to, let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight. This morning, we talked about being hearers being doers of the word and not hearers only. And Lord, if you have commanded us to share the gospel, to reach out to a lost and dying world, and to bear witness of what you did on the cross, Lord, we ought to do it. And I pray that you'll help us to listen to what your word says and to live. Lord, we have some requests that we think of tonight. Lord, I pray for Keith Fuller. Lord, he's going through a lot right now, lying in that hospital bed. We thank you that it seems like every day we've seen a little bit of improvement, and we pray that you would help him. And Lord, I pray for John and Barb right now as they're at Lord's Hospital with Barb's son. I pray, Lord, that you will be with them, be with David. And I pray that you might get them in and out of the hospital soon, that it won't be too, the problem that David's going through with his back right now won't be too bad. And Lord, I pray for John and Barb as they spent a lot of time in the hospital this week with other people. And that's a tough place to spend a lot of time and to be there for others. And I pray that you give them strength, help them. And Lord, tonight as we open your book and we say, yes, Lord, we'll witness. I pray that you'll help us to get excited about evangelizing the lost, reaching out and sharing the gospel. In your Son, Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's open our Bibles this evening to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. And as we look at, we have been commanded to witness. I did not put, because I know I'm going to look at it, and sometimes I use the verse very selectively as I was putting things together. I did not put Matthew's Great Commission in where the church has been commanded to go out and evangelize, because I'm going to use that later in our study of reaching the lost. But so many times in the Bible, God tells us that we need to witness to the lost. And in Romans chapter 10 and verse 14, it says, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" And so as we think about this, why should we witness? Well, God told us to. He said, the lost need to be saved. And how are they going to be saved if you don't tell them? So it's important for us as Christians. We're told in Scripture that we need to go out and we need to reach out and evangelize the lost. Let's also look at John chapter 20. John chapter 20. During the day at school, what I do is I teach a lot of math and science, but I get a Bible class. I get to teach. And my daughter, that's my one junior high class, and my daughter Kylie is in it. That's my youngest class, so I get to teach. And I love teaching that class. I love teaching seventh graders the book of John. And when we get to John, I talk about the beginning and the end of it every day. And I say John 1:12 and John 20:31 are really the bookends of the book. They're the key verses of the book. And how it's so important that we believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that he died on the cross and rose again to pay the penalty for our sins. But in John 20:21, it says, "So Jesus said to them again, 'Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you.'" And so God, Jesus Christ here, I know in this passage of Scripture, he's talking specifically to the apostles, and he said, "As the Father has sent me, so I'm sending you." But I think if we were to look at the whole of Scripture, we see that it's not just the job of the apostles to go out and evangelize the world. It's our job as each and every single believer in the body of Christ to go out and spread the word and to share the gospel. Let's look at John chapter 15, and let's look at verses 8 and 16. John 15, 8 and 16. In John chapter 15, in verse 8, it says, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples." In verse 16 of that same chapter, it says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. These things I command you, that you love one another." In this passage of Scripture, we are told that if we are going to be a believer in Jesus Christ, he is the true vine. We are the branches, and the branches' job is to bear fruit worthy of the kingdom. And we know that there are a lot of fruits of the Spirit, and there are a lot of things that we can do to show that we are a follower of Jesus Christ. But one of the biggest fruits that we can provide, and one of the biggest things that we can do as a Christian, if we are going to bear fruit, is to share the gospel. We need to be excited about it. We are told to do it, and we are to do what we are told, without question. I liked an example I heard this morning of when you're told to do something, you go and you follow the instructions and do it and do it well. If you don't do it well, you may have to clean up your mess and start over again. And sometimes that makes the job 10 times more difficult. Think about that as a Christian. God says to us, we need to act like a Christian. We need to act differently than the world. We need to go out there and share the gospel and make a difference in people's lives. How often have we messed that up from our testimony? We haven't gone out, shared the gospel, and then we don't act like a Christian. The things we say aren't becoming of a Christian. And the actions that we have kind of defame the name of Jesus Christ. We weren't following the master's instruction. Bear fruit worthy of the kingdom. So then what do we have to do? We have to clean up our mess, go back to the book, and start over again, following the instructions better this time. Wouldn't it be easier if right from the beginning we did it properly? I think about that. And the closer I get to Christ and the more I read His Word, I can think back in my time that I've served the Lord. And I think, man, there have been times where I haven't done that properly. My actions, my words, were not a good testimony of Jesus Christ. I did not take the opportunity and witness like I should have. I said things to hurt others. I sinned in front of these people. And now it's going to take a whole lot more work for me to go clean up the mess that I did it wrong the first time, start over, and make a difference for Jesus Christ. If we want to be an effective example for Jesus Christ, we need to do what we are told and do it right the first time. Another place that we are commanded as a church to go and share the gospel is in Luke chapter 15. In verse 10, Luke 15, Luke 15, in verse 10, it says, likewise, let me back up to verse 8, and let's start in verse 8. It says, or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I lost. Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. We are commanded to go and search out the lost and to share the gospel with them so that they will repent and there will be rejoicing in heaven. So that's for the church. Church, why are you to witness? So the church will be blessed. So that people will be being saved. People will be walking the aisles. It meets a desperate need. People will be baptized. The church will grow both numerically and spiritually. It's us being a good steward of our time and our talents. And it's what God commanded us to do. So, believer, that's for us. That's for everyone. But what about you? I know it's the church's job. But let's make this personal. Like, first thing I think about is as a believer, it gives purpose to your life. I don't know. There are a lot of people out there who have a lot of heartache, a lot of sorrow. What good is it if what I am doing is I'm getting up every day, going off to work, working 8 to 5, coming home, sitting down in front of the television, eating dinner, and getting up to go do it again, barely able to pay the bills. What's the purpose in my life? And maybe you think, well, if I had $1 million, I won the lottery, things would change. No, don't think so. Just ask people who won the lottery 10 years later. You know? Maybe if I was famous.
No.
Just ask the famous people who are battling depression and heartache and are turning to drugs so fast because of the emptiness and the void in their life. Well, maybe if I was, and you can fill in the blank with so many things. But this gives you a purpose to your life. Because if you are witnessing and you see someone come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, you have affected someone's life for all of eternity. You have had a little part in seeing that someone is saved from hell. Now, please, don't get me wrong. The person going out and witnessing does not save anyone. Does not save anyone. It's Jesus Christ's finished work on the cross. But what a privilege to have a little part in being God's tool, His instrument for doing something good. I can't think of one thing on this planet that is a bigger deal than being a soul winner. What could you be? Win the Super Bowl? You know, that might be in another month. That's going to be what people are talking about. Oh, this guy won the Super Bowl. Who won the Super Bowl 5 years ago? I don't remember, and I kind of left the game. Right? Am I right? What's it matter? But if you win someone for Jesus Christ, you've done something that will make a difference for all of eternity. Did you lead anyone to the Lord last year? Did you pray with anyone? Maybe you say, oh, no, I didn't. Okay. Well, that's not going to happen for everyone every year. But wouldn't it be the greatest blessing if you could do that again this year? Maybe you're sitting here tonight and you're saying, why am I even here? What's my purpose in this world? What do I have left to live for? Win one person to Christ, it'll make a difference for all of eternity. You'll know exactly why you are here for the rest of eternity. And that's something someone, no one, not even the devil himself, can take away from you. Does that make it worth it? I'd say so. So here are some verses to go along with that. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. 2 Peter 3, 18. In 2 Peter 3, in verse 18, it says, for Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death. Excuse me. I'm going, that's not the verse. I was reading 1 Peter 3:18. My fault. 2 Peter 3:18 says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus. Now that I look at it, I think I wanted 1 Peter 3:18. 1 Peter 3:18. 1 Peter 3:18. Excuse me. It's usually 1 Peter's and 2 Peter's that get me every time, I think. It says in 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ also suffered once for our sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit, by whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison, who formerly were disobedient, when once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is 8 souls, were saved through water. As I think about this passage of Scripture, what a privilege if we can go out and share the gospel and preach what Jesus Christ did on the cross to make a difference in the life of someone else. Let's look at Acts chapter 17, verse 11. Let's turn over our Bibles to Acts chapter 17 and verse 11. In Acts 17 and verse 11, when we talk about the church at Berea, it says, "These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, and also not a few of the Greeks, prominent women as well as men." So I picture going out and sharing the gospel. Can't you picture that sight of that new Christian opening the Bible for the first time and getting excited? And I really would love to. One of the things that I want to do, and one of the things I would love to see, is us have a new believers class. And to have that always have people in it. You know, as soon as we get finished with a new believers class, we start again and we had 5 or 6 people in it. And we went through it. And maybe one day, like, wouldn't the greatest thing to be to have someone who went through our church's new believers class turn around and, you know, 10 years later down the road, teach that new believers class? Wouldn't that be an awesome thing to see? And I just would love to see people sharing the gospel, them sitting down and reading the Word of God and having it make a difference in their heart. Let's also, you don't have to turn too far to go to Acts chapter 16 and verse 5 and see how sharing the gospel can make you have purpose in your life. It says in Acts chapter 16 and verse 5, "So the churches were strengthened in the faith and increased in number daily." You want to increase your faith? You want to strengthen your faith? Share the gospel. You want people coming into church and filling up the church? Share the gospel. It's important that we, as believers, that we are sharing the gospel each and every day. You want purpose in your life? Share the gospel. If you need a reason to get out of bed in the morning, purpose in your heart that you're going to look for someone to share the gospel to. Invite them out to church. And, you know, I think about it. And sometimes when I think about trying to communicate with everybody in church, it kind of is an overwhelming thought. You know what I mean? When I think, man, I'd really like to reach out to people in the church. I'd like to be able to. So I try to make a few phone calls every week just to call somebody up or a visit here and there and say, "How you doing? What's God doing in your heart and in your life?" And I'm sure that there are people that often I miss and I don't get a chance to call from week to week. And it's been a while. Could you imagine trying to, all of a sudden, we want to win 25 people to the Lord and get them into church and get them discipled and stuff? If a church is going to do that, should it all fall on one person? No. But we'll fail. There's no way. If we as a church, if we want to win people to the Lord, we need to, as a church, say we're going to commit to sharing the gospel. And we're going to begin to start carrying around like a New Testament of John. Say, "Hey, could I give this to you? I'd like to invite you out to church. I'd like to share with you what I believe about Jesus Christ. Would you come to church with me?" And if we all begin to do that, and I think about that song, "Each One, Reach One." If we begin to do that, we could make a difference in our families, in our communities, in our world, and for all of eternity. It would be worth it if we could just bring one at a time to the Savior. All right, let's pray this evening. Lord and Heavenly Father, tonight we've talked about why we should witness. Lord, I pray that maybe through putting this Bible study together and sharing it, putting the notes up on the screen, the verses out for people to underline and read and memorize, and I pray that maybe you will excite within us a desire to share the gospel, and that this year, 2019, we might just one at a time start bringing people into church, and that we'll have a neighbor sitting next to us, a co-worker, a son, a daughter, a cousin, a mom, a dad, and that, Lord, maybe in February, March this year, this summer, we'll see people on their knees crying out to God saying, I need a Savior. And Lord, wouldn't it be great if by the end of this year, we are opening the baptismal tanks and seeing men, women, boys, girls saying their testimony of how they trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Help us share your gospel. In Jesus' name we pray.